Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something
hallelujah.
There's just something
we're crying out to God for all our city. We're crying out to God for all our city. We're crying out to God for all our city. Believe me, we're praying for you wherever you're listening. Our men and ladies behind me are praying in the sanctuary. We're praying for our city for Holy Ghost revival. We know that's the desperate need. We know that's the desperate need, and we believe God's going to give it to us. We believe God's going to give it to us. We believe God's going to give it to us, and we're trusting Him with all our heart. We're trusting Him with all our heart. We're trusting Him with all our heart, trying to make sure everything's going right here. All right, music again. We're praying. We're believing God.
There's just something about.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why, I don't know the. I know. Yeah, it's going. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm sorry there. Let me cut that a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you how much our city is praying for a Holy Ghost revival. Our city is praying for Holy Ghost revival. We got the door open to our sanctuary so you can know we believe God. This is a church that believes God. We got prayer warriors, men and women. I think we've had the best, most wonderful prayer in the last months that I ever remember. And we want you to be blessed. We want your life to be blessed. We want your spiritual walk to be increased. Forgive me for the mic there. I don't have it set up like I normally do, so it's a little different. But we're having church, and we believe in God with you, and believe in God for you. And we're not having actual service in our church. We just have people who want to come and pray, waiting on God, depending on God. We're not gathering together. We're just crying out for the God to answer our prayer, and we believe He's going to. We really do. We believe He's going to. Now worship a little bit with the music, would you? Oh, it's a joy to play. Sure, such a song as this. Oh, there's just something about that name.
After the rain.
Well, I've had a little difficulties here, but we get them solved, and we're having church now. Praise God for His wonder. Praise God for His wonder. Hallelujah. I love our singers. We really do have some of the best. Some of the best. Some of the best. Now listen, if you have a need, I want us to pray for your need. I'll cut the music down a little bit here, and we're going to pray for God to give you a miracle. Father, I pray for every person who's joining us for worship. I don't know how big the audience is, but I pray it's a great company of wonderful people from many different walks of life. It doesn't matter, Father. Here we're in this together, and we're in this moment of believing God together, and we know that God's going to answer prayer. We have no doubt that we serve a God that answers prayer, and we know He will show you His glory, and He'll show you His love, and He'll show you His grace. So love Him like you've never loved Him. Pray like you've never prayed, and turn your life loose for God. Now, we're going to keep our sanctuary open all day till 7 p.m., all day for you to come and pray. So I hope all over the city, all among different people of different faiths, whatever your background, come in Jesus' name. The only thing we ask, that we all pray in Jesus' name, and that He is the source of all our victory. There is no victory apart from Christ. And so we're just crying out to you. We believe in God with you. We believe in God to show His power and to show His grace. And I love these people behind me praying, crying out to God, because we care about our city. We care about the sufferings of every individual. Nobody is excluded from our burden and from our concerns. So we are praying for you. I pledge to you. We are praying for you, and we are holding you up. And we believe in God. If you get sick, I want you to know I'll put our number on the internet, my personal number, day and night, 24/7. I'm available to this city to pray for the sick, to pray for needs, to minister to you in any way you have need of. Okay? 704-578-5788. 704-578-5788. That's my personal number. The number here at the church, will dial that number. We've got them both tied together for this time of crisis. And we believe God's going to give a miracle. And we all going to be loving Him together and thanking Him for the miracle. Okay? I hope you are praying. I hope you're turning your heart to God. Now, we'll have this service in a few moments. You'll be hearing a message. The message is the star-studded future of the saints of God, the bride of Christ. My friend, we've got a future that's breathtaking. It may look dark out there right now, but the light's going to shine again. Oh, the sun's going to shine. I promise you. I promise you, God's faithful. God never fails. God never fails. Do you hear me? God never fails. Now you worship with the music. I'll be back in a moment with a sermon.
Victory beneath the cleansing blood.
I'm sorry for that.
His cleansing power revealing how He made the lame to walk again. And He calls the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Then somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I'll be back with you after this sermon, okay? I want you to listen to this word from God. I believe it will affect your life for His glory and His kingdom. So bless you as you hear
praying that have been crying out to God. We at the time of a look at the day of tribulation that's going to follow the rapture. Are you aware of that? We're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it everywhere. People are scared to death. I guess that's why many aren't here this morning. Well, let's sing and praise the Lord. Sister Yvette.
He was wounded
for
our transgressions.
He was
bruised
Surely
he bore
our sorrows.
Stripes we are healed.
Sing it now.
For our transgressions,
he
was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity.
Give him a hand of praise.
His stripes
you're going to have to talk with me while I get this sermon straight now. I'm very sorry. In fact, I'm embarrassed, but there's nothing I can do but now cut it, get it straight, and I will have it so in just a moment, and you'll be listening to the word of the Lord. I promise you. Just
learning
a moment here.
English.
God bless you. Somehow we had a mistake in that machine, and it didn't do right. But here is the word of the Lord. Are you ready? God bless you.
You could come here and hear it. You know where to go. But the world is going to churches that preach little sermonettes. And that little comfortable kind of sermon. It's not so much what's wrong with what they say. What's wrong is what they're not saying. The kind of sermons and the kind of truths that they're not hearing. Are you aware of that? I'm amazed. This dear woman has been in church all her life. All her life, in and out. And she didn't understand nothing about New Jerusalem. Wow. I thought, what in the world? How could we miss New Jerusalem? Let's sing one more verse in course, and then get your Bible ready. Revelation 21.
To all those who weep,
Hallelujah.
The Lord draweth nigh.
Listen.
For he too is weeping.
Oh, no.
He hears your heart's cry.
Hallelujah.
But in Jesus our Lord, the soul never dies.
Hallelujah.
For he is the resurrection of life. Our loved ones shall rise.
Hallelujah.
Now I have a hope that is steadfast and sure.
I
have an anchor
Hallelujah.
That will endure.
Hallelujah.
Yes, my anchor holds
beyond the grave. The great resurrection.
Jesus our Lord, the great resurrection is mighty to save.
Raise your hand on that, will you? The great resurrection.
Oh, I have a hope that's steadfast and sure. Yes, I have an anchor that will endure.
Hallelujah.
Yes, my anchor holds.
Hallelujah.
Beyond the grave.
Oh, the great.
For Jesus our Lord, the great resurrection is mighty to save.
I was standing in the big graveyard at Sherwin Park Friday, and the Holy Ghost poured something on my heart when I stepped up to have the closing moments for Sister Sylvia's burial. And I said to everybody, look around you. This huge cemetery. That must be one of the oldest in Charlotte. I don't know when it started. I was told before this moment that Billy Graham's mom and dad were buried in that cemetery. It's a big one. And I said, look around you. I want to tell you something. This cemetery is going to be a hallelujah garden at any day, at any moment. A hallelujah garden. Because those saints of God coming out of their graves, coming out of those burial spots, I'm telling you, that's going to be a moment of glory. They aren't going to come out like they're scared to say something. They're going to come out of there shouting hallelujah. They're going to come out of there with praises. Many of these old saints died 50, 100 years ago. And they may have been Presbyterians, some of them, but they were shouting Presbyterians. They may have been Baptists, but they were amen Baptists. I'm telling you, that's going to be a hallelujah moment when those graves open and they come out of there. I want to preach this morning on a very special sermon. I'm really taking off on the funeral message. On the funeral message, I want to preach on the star-studded future of the saints of God. The star-studded future of the saints of God. Most people don't know what's awaiting a real believer when they suddenly cross over the divide and move into the land of hallelujahs and praises and glories. And there's no boulevards up there that don't have a Holy Ghost kind of name. There's no streets up there that are called the street of sorrow or the street of sadness or the street of gloom. There's nothing up there but hallelujahs and praises. Anybody understand what I'm saying? How many believe heaven's going to be a glorious place? Now, I want to preach about the New Jerusalem, the great bridegroom, and then the great bride. New Jerusalem, the city of the bridegroom and the bride. It's called that. So listen as I read in Romans 21. We'll begin with verse 1. I wish I could read the whole chapter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now notice this, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, I could preach on that verse and I wouldn't finish. Listen to that. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Notice, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now you see the three entities, the New Jerusalem, the bridegroom, and the bride. And the city is like a wedding chapel. Like a great wedding city. Like a great place of triumph and glory. And it's a city as though it was prepared for the two entities, the bride and the bridegroom. Now, can you imagine? Do you know what we do when there's a couple about to get married? You remember how we fixed this place, and usually there's lots of flowers and there's all kinds of beautiful things, and it becomes a beautiful occasion. The bride comes in, the back door's there, and she's always so beautiful. She attracts everybody's attention. I'll never forget when Juanita came in those doors. Great day. It was something out of this world. And we give little attention in our weddings to the bridegroom. He's always over there in my office, and he comes out that door and comes down here, and nobody even pays him any attention. How many of you ever stood there and looked at the bridegroom and thought how handsome he is? How well dressed he is. Look at him. Isn't he spectacular? No, you're waiting for the bride to come in the door. Because you know the moment of celebration, the moment of exclamation is when that bride walks in that door. Well, I'm here to tell you that is all a type of something you see in this Bible. Now, this Bible isn't a type of the weddings we see, the weddings we see are a type of this wedding. Do you get that? The central message now is not the weddings we have here. They're just types. The wedding there is the center of attention. The wedding there is the focus of the Bible. If you read the book of Genesis with good understanding, you will see that God was so disappointed when there was sin in the garden, because that garden had been prepared for the bride of the bridegroom, and the future of the bridegroom was already in the Father's heart. And from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, there is this picture of a bridegroom and a bride, but more beautiful, a city where the bridegroom and the bride will spend eternity. They don't get married on that occasion to have a big family and to populate the earth. All of that was a type of the future. But in that day, it will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Is anybody here? Anybody understand what I'm saying? Let me read another verse or two. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Somebody help me praise him. The tabernacle of God is with men. What are you saying, Brother Chambers? Why are you getting happy? I'm getting happy because a place has been prepared that is this very place. And the tabernacle of God is waiting for the rapture so we can meet the bridegroom in the sky. And then the bridegroom and the bride can go together right back through the stratosphere. And where do we go to? We go up there where the city is. And we have a wedding. And when the wedding is over, we'll be given our apartments. This is the bride. Not the whole world. That's what really got a hold of them at the funeral Friday. As I told them, only the bride dwells in the city of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is not for a bunch of pew warmers. New Jerusalem is not a bunch of absentees. New Jerusalem is not a bunch of people who can't obey and are on the fringes of Christianity and never bury their heart in the great things of God. That city is for the bride. And that bride will be those in love with the bridegroom. There won't be one in the crowd that don't love the bridegroom more than they love the world. There won't be one in the crowd that don't love the bridegroom more than they love the money they make. There won't be one in the crowd that don't love the bridegroom more than they love their own selves. That wedding is for the bridegroom and the bride. And the bridegroom is the center of this love feast. And then the bride, hallelujah, is the ones there to praise the great God. I know I got to have you seated. Let's listen to another verse or two. Could we listen? Listen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. Be no more viruses. Nothing to scare you out of your wits. Nothing to frighten your life beyond understanding. None of that. All of that is past. And I said something at the funeral. I don't remember when I got it last week. But if God's going to wipe away your tears, do you know what goes before the tears? The reason for those tears, the pain those tears produce, the sorrow those tears reflect, the darkness those tears is but a reminder of. Because before he can wipe away the tears, he's got to wipe away all that stuff out of my heart. So there's nothing to be afraid of any longer. There's nothing to weep. Can you imagine the day where there's nothing to weep about? Can you imagine the day when there's not a sorrow you can put your finger on? Can you imagine a day when there's not a thing out there that troubles you? You can be seated if you listen just like you're standing, okay? So make like you're still standing. Just be seated, okay? And keep listening to me carefully, will you? Can you imagine the day when there's not a thing to fill your heart with gloom? Can you imagine the day when there's not a loved one that's angry with you? Can you imagine the day when all of your enemies have either repented and got right with God, or they've died and gone on beyond the pale of tears? Can you imagine? That's what he said. He's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. Now, I want to preach about the city. I may not get beyond the city. I may not get to the bridegroom this morning. I probably won't. And I don't think I'll get to the bride. Oh, what I like to tell you about that bride. I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I got saved 68 years ago. And I was thinking this morning, I was sitting here at my prayer place, and I was thinking about the Lord saving me and how he saved me. Let me tell you something. Let me take a minute. I know I'm going to get off the task and I'm not going to get back to everything I want to get to, but I feel like I need to tell you. I want to tell you about how God brought me to be saved. My daddy was a wonderful farmer, and he was a great liquor maker. His liquor was called peach brandy. White lightning was a bigger name for it. It's the kind of stuff that makes you crazy. It's the kind of stuff that they really loved back in that day. And daddy made lots of it and made money to feed us kids. I wonder how many meals I've eaten with money that was made off of white lightning, Sister Virginia. I wonder how many meals I've eaten that the profits came from dad's liquor. I don't know. But dad had a nephew that lived in Burlington. Now hear this story. Hear it. It's very important. Roby was his name. His wife was named Virginia, Roby and Virginia. And they lived on a street in Burlington prior to daddy hiring them. And Roby sold liquor, and I'm sure he got most of it from my dad, 30 miles between the places. And something happened to their family. One of the children got killed out on the streets in front of the village, in front of the home. And it broke the heart of that little group of people that lived on that street. And two old-fashioned Church of God ladies went to the house of Roby. And it was Mabel, not Virginia. I don't know why I said Virginia. Roby and Mabel went to their house and comforted them in the death of their daughter. And in the process, they took Mabel to church. This is my cousin's wife. And she got saved. Now listen, this happened before they moved to my home. God had prepared her to know Jesus as she loved the house of God. And Roby agreed with my dad to come and sharecrop and to help him raise tobacco and to be close to the still where my daddy made the liquor. And Roby would sell dad's whiskey all over the place. Dad would make it to feed us kids. There was eight of us. So we was a big crowd. And so Dad was a wonderful farmer and a wonderful liquor maker. And Roby was a great salesman. And Roby moved Mabel there, who had gotten saved up at the Church of God in Burlington. I mean, this has all happened before I got saved now. God was preparing the way. Well, there's a preacher at that church in Burlington named old brother W.C. Lambert. Lanky Lambert, they called him. And he was one of those old-timers. He came down to the farm and got on Dad's wagon out there in the farmyard and preached the gospel. Told about Jesus. Well, I started going to church. You know why I went to church to start with? There's a pretty girl that was the daughter of Roby and Mabel. She was as pretty as a peach. She was a little darling. And I could ride in the car in the back seat and hold her hand. And I rode in that car to church, and that was my reason for going. I'd never been to a town as big as Burlington before in my life. All I was an old country boy. Oh, but I went to town to hold that little lady's hand, and it was enjoyable. Now, nothing ever happened, so don't get to dreaming about some kind of immorality. It just didn't happen. But I wanted you to know how I started going to church. And so I go to church on a Tuesday night in the in the month of March in the year of 1952, and lo and behold, God had a plan for me, and I'll never forget going to that altar, and he saved me, and he made a new man out of me. Well, I didn't ever drink the white lightning, but I'd got a hold of some heavenly white lightning. And I was drunk on Jesus from the moment I got saved. And I remember that night going home. I think the little girl had been holding my hand, had moved over to the other side of the car because her boyfriend had got drunk on new wine. And she didn't want anything to do with it. And she never did get saved, as far as I know. But I got saved. I hung my head out the window that night and said to Roby's liquor friends that he's selling liquor to, I went to church tonight a goat, but I'm going home a sheep. Say that with me, would you? I went to church tonight a goat, and I'm going home a sheep. Now, Roby was selling white lightning. I got a hold of some heavenly white lightning. And could I tell you without bragging that I've been drunk ever since? I've been drunk for 68 years on Jesus. See, and that's the very character that will be living in the city of New Jerusalem. And I know I'm going to live in the city of New Jerusalem because I've been in love with Jesus all these years with everything I had. I've been in love with Jesus. You know that. Those of you who know me know I've been in love with Jesus head over heels ever since I got saved 68 years ago. And everybody who's in love with Jesus and have given him all you got is going to live in New Jerusalem. Now raise your hand if you're looking forward to it. Raise your hand if you're looking forward to it. Everybody and nobody. The street, the few warmers who they love him lightly, but they're careless. Marlon's going to argue with me on this. He's going to say they're not even saved. But 1 Corinthians 3 tells about a group of people who they don't get a reward, but they do make it into heaven. Well, there's going to be cities all over the new heaven and the new earth. And that's where all these people are going to live who've been pew warmers, but they were truly saved. That have hung around the church and knew the Lord, but wouldn't sell out. I'm calling you this morning to sell out. It's high time we sold out to Jesus. If we could sell out to Jesus, we could seat this church. I'm here to tell you, there'd be no room left for you. Oh, if we'd sell out to Jesus. But we're in a generation, don't even know what that means. Nobody preaches it. You ever hear it preached? A little bit? You hear it preached? Well, you're hearing it now, aren't you? Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Listen to me. That city, New Jerusalem, is for the sold out crowd. Now I want you to hear that and take that home with you. That city, New Jerusalem, is for the sold out crowd. How sold out are you? How sold out are you? How many of you are so in love with Jesus that it takes a catastrophe almost to keep you out of church? How many of you are so in love with Jesus that I don't care how few groceries you had in your cabinet, you'd still pay your tithes? How many of you are so in love with Jesus that you can't meet somebody and not tell them about the love of Jesus and the joy of your heart? Well, this city of New Jerusalem is our future. Are you hearing me? This city of New Jerusalem is our future. Go with me. Take your Bible. Go with me. Listen now. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm trying to find the right verse. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. You got that verse? Verse 10. And he carried me to a great and high mountain. Now you got to get this. You won't get my message if you don't get this. Why did God take John up to a great and high mountain? Why didn't he just show him the city from where they were standing? Well, how are you going to see a 1,500-mile city from the ground. The most you could have seen was about 10 miles. And your eyes would have turned blind. But this city was 1,500 miles. One level of this city is over half as big as all the land of America. And there's 12 levels. 12 levels. The city of New Jerusalem has at least six, I'm trying to make sure I think right here, at least six or seven times more space than in America. Take the whole of America from California to North Carolina, from Florida on the south to Alaska on the top. And put all of that landmass together, and it's barely a little more, maybe 50% more than the whole landscape of America. And there's 12 levels like that. So you're talking about a city made of gold with all kinds of jewels at every level of the 12 levels. Pearly gates matching so massive and beautiful that there's not one to compare on the face of God's earth. A place of such majesty and beauty and glory, and God himself is in the middle of that city. He is the mighty mist, and the sun isn't even needed anymore, because the city and the Christ our Lord will be the light of the universe, and everything will be lit by the majesty of the bridegroom's person. That's the bridegroom who lights the world. Ooh, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, Brother Chambers, you don't believe this. This is a fantasy story. You know what the world does with Revelation? They think it's some kind of dream. Of some, you know, good dream, but no real reality. I'm here to tell you, God don't put stuff in his Bible that's just a dream. God don't put stuff in his Bible that's just some man's imagination. That city of New Jerusalem is so great that God takes John to a great and high mountain and lets him look over that city. Oh, I told him at the wedding, a funeral, why did I say wedding? Funeral. That I've been wanting to go to heaven just to visit. And y'all want to come back. And I want to tell y'all just exactly how it looks. That, you know, God wouldn't let Paul. Paul went up there. And God wouldn't let Paul come back and tell it. I don't want to go if I can't come back and tell it until I stay. Well, that would be what would happen. I would stay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I probably won't want to come back when I go see it. I'm probably going to say, no, Lord. I changed my mind. I wanted to tell Brother Marlin about this city from a personal view. But I'm just going to let him wait. I'm just going to stay up here. How many believe that would probably happen to me? Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Well, New Jerusalem was so massive that he had to take him to a high mountain and show it to him. John was awed. Then he began to describe the city. You got to understand, the size of that city is 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles square. And every level, 12 levels right on up. The top level is the amethyst stone. Each level will be decorated with a different stone. If you could even calculate, the computers of America don't have the capacity to calculate the value that you would see in that city. The gold in that city is so massive, it's built of gold. You say, oh, Brother Chambers, you're crazy. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm enjoying being crazy. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying being crazy, folks, because this city is going to be our city. If you think you can sit around, twiddle your thumbs, and be part of that city, you're just as wrong as you can be. You're going to have to sell out to Jesus. I'm preaching to you this morning. You need to sell out to Jesus. See, I was only 16. How did I sell out so utterly? I try to figure that out sometimes. Had to be the Holy Ghost. Couldn't have nothing to do with me. All I'd ever done was stole and cussed and told dirty jokes and lied and cheated. I was a rascal. I was a no-count kid. I was a disgrace to my family. I was a disappointment to my daddy. But listen, when Jesus came in, he changed all of that in a moment. It didn't happen over a month and a year. Most Christians want a year to get a little spirituality about them. Somebody says, well, the folks aren't coming to church good, but wait on them. They will. I don't think so. If you don't get good and saved, you ain't going to change. If Jesus don't turn you upside down and make a new person out of you, you're never going to be different from what you are. Somebody's going to have to get somewhere and find them a place to pray. I was thinking about preachers this morning. If a preacher that really wants God to use him would get an altar, draw a circle around himself, and say, I'm not leaving this altar until I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost, it wouldn't be long. He'd come out of that prayer circle, and he'd be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The city of New Jerusalem. I mean, it is so gorgeous and beautiful. It is beyond description. To go into all the descriptive things of that city, you got to just take them word by word and verse by verse. Am I going to do that this morning? I don't want to bore you with all these little facts. Maybe they wouldn't bore you, but I'm here to tell you the city is magnificent. How many will agree it's got to be magnificent? Let me see your hand. Can you imagine a city where every level is a different precious stone just decorated and gleaming in the sunlight of the glory of Christ? And the golden streets, when you walk on them, there's no such thing as dust and dirt. Just a ginger. You got to find something else to do besides sanitizing things, because they aren't going to need no sanitizer in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I think I got her attention. Don't need no sanitizer. It'll all be pure and never be less than pure. Oh, what a day that's going to be, church. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. But Jesus is the beaming glory of that city. I'm here to tell you, you go to Revelation 1. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Wonder where all of our people are on the Lord's day. They're certainly not in the Spirit, are they? Huh? I'm scared to death. Hiding somewhere. They went and bought all the groceries they could buy. How many found your shelves didn't have any more bread? How many found your shelves didn't have any more toilet paper? How many found your shelves didn't have any more milk? You know, what's going to happen? This world's going crazy. If everybody hibernates, who's going to keep the streets? If everybody hibernates, who's going to fix the broken water lines? Everybody hibernates, who's going to bring bread to your grocery store? Everybody hibernates, it's the craziest thing I ever heard of what they're doing. It don't make no sense to me. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I just don't fit this world. Maybe they need to get me out of here. They'd like to do that, but they can't do it till God gets ready. Hallelujah. Somebody says to me occasionally, God, someone's going to kill you. I said, they got to get past my angels. They got to get past my angels. Listen to me, church. The bridegroom is going to be the heart of that city. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I turned to see the voice was spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the sun. And then he said, and tells the story, chapter 1, of seeing the Christ, the mighty Savior. It's a breathtaking picture when you look at Jesus in Revelation chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. John saw him, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, which is and was and which is to come. Write and send this unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis. And he names all the cities, seven cities. Now I turned to see the voice, the one that spake with me. And being turned, I saw these seven golden candlesticks. I just quoted that. And it says his hair was as the hair of wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is a sound of many waters. And his voice is a sound of many waters. This is the bridegroom. This is the center of the city where we're going to live in forever. Forever. Would you say forever? Do you know how long forever is? Forever, Dwan, forever is forever. I want you to be there. Do you plan to be there, Dwan? Raise your hand if you plan to be there. Dwan? Can you get somebody get the message to him, Dwan? You plan to be there? Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. I'm telling you some folks, we got something awaiting us. Can you imagine seeing Jesus in all the splendor of his post-resurrection? Not his pre-resurrection, his post-resurrection. When he is glorified, as John is seeing him, says his feet was like a furnace of fire. His voice is the sound of many waters. Can you hear the Lord Jesus? The Bible says when the rapture takes place in John 4, that he comes shouting. The trumpet sounds and gets the attention of the world. But I think something greater than sounding of the trumpet will be Jesus crying out for us. Come up hither! It's supper time. Woo. Somebody raise a hand. Come up hither. It's supper time. The Lord will declare as he calls us upward. We'll ascend to meet him in the air and then right on to the celestial place. Now, in closing, I can't go but so far. But I want to tell you something. Let me go back to the city a minute. Did you notice he spoke of this city as a holy city? How many noticed that? Did he say holy city? You understand that? Now let me tell you why it's called a holy city. Jesus said in John 14, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and get you and take you to where that city is. Because that's where I'm going to be. He didn't say it in those exact words. I'm just trying to get you to understand. We're going to that city. And it's a holy city. Well, you know, listen. The devil has walked on every inch of this earth. The devil has left his footprints everywhere you can look. You can see them in Washington. You can see them in our city hall. You can see them in your next door neighbor's lifestyle. You can see it everywhere you look. It's sin, sin, sin. How many can see the sin, the darkness, the destruction, the misery that's everywhere? But the city is called holy. That means, and you got to hear this, no sin has ever stepped inside the city of New Jerusalem. It's the redemptive city. It was not even created till after Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. So he created it as a redemptive city for the bride. No sin. Nothing has ever stepped in that city. The devil's tootsies have never stepped on one inch of that gold. The devil's ugly muck has never walked through one of those golden gates named after the great apostles. That city is a holy city, and no sin can enter there. And if there's any carelessness in your life, you better get rid of it. Hallelujah. A holy city without the footprints of the devil. I love that. I think that's one of the greatest things God ever revealed to me, was that the city doesn't even have the footprints of old Lucifer. He's never stepped in that city. He's never stepped in that city. And that's going to be ours if you're part of the bride. If you're not part of the bride, you'll go to heaven. The Bible says the saved of the earth will come to visit Jerusalem. They asked me that last night. How about the people who are saved but doesn't inherit the city? They can come visit us. The Bible says it. Read it. Read chapters 21, chapters 22. It says plainly that the saved of the earth will inherit the cities of the new heaven and the new earth. But the bride will get the city of New Jerusalem. I want to end with this. I want to end with this. I want every one of you to be in that city of New Jerusalem. But you got to sell out. You got to sell out. This playing around with your faith. This playing around with your church life. See, you can't be in love with Jesus and not be in love with his church. That's an impossibility. You can't be in love with Jesus and not be in love with his Father who gave him to die on the cross. You can't be in love with Jesus and not separate yourself from this world. Love not the world, neither the things are in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I turn on my Facebook and I see good people hanging out with everybody that they know. I got one last night from a good preacher, and he said, I'm together right now with 47 others. They were hanging out together. A good preacher, not a bad man. And I think, why do they love hanging out so much when I love praying better than they love hanging out? I love getting along with God in the mornings better than I would love being with anybody on the face of this earth. Now, if Ray Hughes would come back, I'd spend a few hours with him. But then I'd say, Ray, I love you. You're a great preacher. But I'm going back to my altar. I'm sorry. I can't spend too much time with you. Then if Wade Horton would show up, I'd say, oh, Brother Wade, I love you. But listen, let's go to the altar together and let's spend some time in prayer. Everybody come see me at my house. You know what I do? I get them up at 6 in the morning and bring them to pray. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. New Jerusalem. A great, great bridegroom. And you can be part of the bride. Shall we stand? I preach to you from my heart this morning. I've hardly touched all the information in this great subject. It's just about impossible. It really is. And I've already preached overtime. Sorry for that. No, I'm not. Listen, how many of you want to be part of that great bride? I want you to raise your hand way up high. Way up. I want to be part of that bride. I want to be part of that bride, Jose. I've learned to love.
That's what it should
be. To view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Let's worship him. Hallelujah. That city is for you. Nobody has to miss it. Oh, I cry out for my city and for many people I know. Get ready. Will you get ready? Let me stop the music for just a moment. I want us to talk about getting ready to be part of that bride. I want you, everybody listening to me, to be part of that bride. And you can be. I promise you, you can be. Cut off all the noise here that might backfire on me. I want to tell you, that was a message I love. And I love to preach those kind of sermons from Revelation. And I want to get people excited about the rapture. See, we are seeing the result right now of this horrible virus. And when you think about just what has happened over the last few weeks, and think of 7 years of hell on earth that is far greater than, I mean, this is just a tidbit. This is just a kind of a teaser. It kind of lets you know that this world is not going to continue in its godless way. Look at how many boys and girls have been crucified. I should say aborted. Same thing, crucified, aborted. Aborted from mama's womb. You think God can put up with that on and on? How about all the immorality and the filth? How about all the godlessness? How about preachers who have left the Bible and preach all kinds of doctrines that have been created by human thinkers? Oh, my friend, if ever you've got back to that Bible, that holy book, and got in it and lived it, I'm gonna put on a sermon at 6 this evening on the devil is a liar. The devil is the father of lies. And I deal with lies that the devil is telling people. Lies that the devil is telling people. I want you to hear that sermon. This has been a little erratic this morning. The sound went out on my computer when I cut it on and I had to reboot everything. Start all over again, right in the middle of getting the program going. And I apologize for that. I apologize for trying to use some of the sound so we could hear in here because my tablet went out this morning. After I got to church, it quit. It just won't go on. It just won't do right. I don't know why that happened, except to know that the devil don't like what we're doing. But I'm telling you, I'm calling out to you, and I'm weeping for you. I promise you, I've been on my face since 6 this morning. Well, 10 after 6, I'm sorry. 10 after 6, and I'm weeping for my city. I'm weeping for the many, many, many needs out there. And I'm crying out for you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to live for him. I want you to walk with him. I want him to be the center of your life. I'm telling you, you don't have to be just like me. Just get in your Bible and live by the Bible. That's all you got to live by is the Bible. You don't have to live by my opinion, no other preacher's opinion, but you got to live by that Bible. You got to live by that word of God. And when we preach the truth, then you become obligated only to the truth, but not to me, only to the truth. And I'm praying for you. I want to have prayer with you. My whole audience now, I know I'm trying to be through here by 12 o'clock. I promise you 11 to 12 and 6 this evening, 6 to 7. And I hope you'll join me. And if you know somebody, call them and get them to listen this evening. I just helped a couple people in our sanctuary pull up their computer. I mean, their cell phone and pull up this radio program. Well, it was this morning, it's a sermon, but you go to the same place to mark the radio program on Saturday to get sermons when I put them on Facebook or put them online. Actually, online is what you get with your cell phone, not Facebook. And with your cell phone, you can go to paulcreek.org. You'll come to our website. You scroll down about 3 pages, same page, but it's long, like pages, and you'll come to a link that says Open Bible Dialogue. That's my connection to anybody in the world during any live program that I do. Anytime I do a live program on internet, that OBD connects the world to it. Anybody in Australia can be listening. And we probably had listeners in Australia this morning. I am praying and claiming God's mighty hand. I love you. Father, I pray for every listener. I pray for everybody that is having church with me this morning. And I weep, God, I weep for the unsaved, multitudes of unsaved people. Many of them good people, many of them church people, many even religious, but they've never been born again. Their sins have never been forgiven. They still live in different kinds of sin styles and sin actions. And God, they need to be set free, and you will set them free. When you save an old drunk, he won't need a year to be re-inhabited. He will be re-inhabited the moment he gets saved. Oh, he may have some struggles and things to forget and things to put aside and amends to make and debts to pay, but God will help him to do it and be a new man. And I want you to be a new man. I want you to be born again. I weep for your soul right now. Why don't you get on your knees right where you are, in your house, in your car? Well, you can maybe in your car, but bend over the dashboard or the controls wheel. It don't matter. Just get before God and humble yourself and cry out to God to save you. All you got to do is repent of your sins and turn from them and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He'll make a new person out of you. He'll do it while we're praying. God, help them right now to be born again. To be saved by the blood. To be saved by the blood. God bless you now. I love you. I'll talk with you at 6 o'clock this evening. Come to our church to pray. We'll be open all day. If you want to bring a gift for radio ministry and the ongoing of our church, you're welcome. The plate. I'm not very good with some extra thoughts here. The plate will be on the communion table if you want to leave an offering. But that's not why we want you to come. We want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you. God bless you.
I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults.
Let's stand together. Love on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall follow. My eyes to Calvary.
Oh, forever, forever, forever.
To view the cross.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus died for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul.
He looked beyond.
He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
He looked so far beyond.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul.
Wow.
He looked beyond my faults and saw.